You're listening to Literally, the podcast where you literally get a complete behind-the-scenes peek at a one-on-one business coaching relationship and the transformation that unfolds over the course of 6 months. I'm your host, Lacey Seitz, business mentor and success coach, and the founder of A Lit Up Life. These are recordings of actual coaching sessions with one of my clients where you get to experience her journey right along with her and gain insight into building your own lit up life and the business that you desire.
Hi guys, welcome to session 10. I am really pumped for you to hear this one because I think it is one that we all can relate to so much of that place in business when things feel really uncertain, but nothing is actually wrong, but the uncertainty makes it feel wrong, right? I feel like we just can all get that so much where it's like we can't point to one specific thing, but it feels like something is wrong because we're in such a big change or up level or shift. And I really feel like it's so helpful to normalize that feeling. So I'm really, really excited for y'all to dive into this one with us and see what's coming up for Robin and basically just how that uncertainty is something that we can navigate and what our brains say about that and what we need to do about that from like a mindset perspective, but definitely also a practical perspective. So I think this one will really serve you and I'm excited to hear what y'all think. What's going on? How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. I feel like it's like New Year energy is just in full force, which I always kind of love.
Yeah, me too. It's so funny because I think it was you that posted a while back that like the second half of businesses do really well.
Yeah.
The second half of the year. And it's like always been the opposite for me in my business.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like my energy is just different in the first half and like I hit a benchmark number and I'm like, I'm good. Like I can chill kind of
totally.
Thing.
Totally.
Yeah. Like historically, I've always had like really massive numbers January to March.
Okay, that's fun to play with.
Yeah.
That's kind of perfect that you have two big launches happening in that window.
I know. Weird.
So good. All right, give me like a little update. Just give me a little lay of the land and then I'll dive in.
Okay. Yeah, so posting just like for brand cohesion visual purposes on the Cocoon's social media. Starting next week, it'll be more intentional, like reels and, you know, like actual content to like drive to the membership. And I think also next week, I want to start ads for that. So that's where we're at there. I have to still finalize the masterclass for the Cocoon because it's going to involve multiple people. For sure, Lindsay and I will be on that, but I'm trying to figure out if Liza can be on there because she's just like the physician. She's amazing. She's bought so much street cred in her field, and I think it would be cool to have her part of that. So we have to map that out.
Yeah, that feels important.
I agree. Yeah. So timing-wise, like I don't think the ads will run to a masterclass off the get. Like I think it'll probably just be more like visibility awareness kind of thing. Yeah, so that feels good there. I started kind of using the Mothered Business in my branding. I've had a few people reach out and say, hey, I like went on your website. It's all different. I love this direction. I'm really stoked on it. Tell me about the mastermind. So I feel like the people in my world are noticing, but I haven't done an explicit like, this is the direction, you know, and I kind of feel good about it. I kind of feel like maybe I just want to lobster in a pot of boiling water a little bit, like where it just feels like there's like a seamless transition there. It's not so jarring. Yeah, working on the webinar for that and a lot of legal stuff like waivers and disclaimers, medical disclaimers for the Cocoon, contracts for contractors. All of that has been keeping me busy. So that's where we're at.
Do you feel like go time ready for launch? Like, are you like easy? I'm super prepared. Or are you like, this is tight? Or how are you feeling?
I feel amazing. And I feel shockingly like zero resistance or zero emotional charge, or like it feels very professionally separate from me.
Yep.
I think I just needed to get to that place. Like processing a lot of stuff with you has really helped me realize like, hey, this isn't me. This isn't my life. This isn't my story. This is just like a professional thing that taps into one of my personal journeys, but it's like its own entity. And like, I get to fully be the CEO. It's not like, it just feels like professionally detached.
Yes. I feel like there's something so juicy about that and almost like what you've been craving in some ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting because I feel like, you know, in some ways, like sometimes when we start our own business, like we don't want to be detached. Like we want it to be so us and like everything like about our passions and our desires. And then I think sometimes you do that for a while and you're like, oh, there really is something to be said for her. It just feeling like a business sometimes. And so I feel like that's really cool to kind of have that for yourself too. I loved this conversation about being kind of professionally detached, basically. And I think it's so important in business. I think when we can really look at our business like a business and have that space from it, it is so important for the neutrality we bring to be able to actually strategize and move the business forward. When it feels so personal, when it feels like we can't detach from it, like it's so much a part of us, like obviously there are good pieces of being able to kind of pour ourselves into something, but it makes it really, really hard to get neutral and get strategic. And basically all of our decisions are then from a really intensely emotional place. And so if you feel that in your business, if you're like, man, every decision feels so intense, so emotional, it feels hard to get to neutral, that's what you're looking for, is like, how do I create more professional detachment? How do I see this more as a business and less of an extension of me? And things really do get so much better and so much easier from there.
I think my coaching business is like very much an extension of me in a lot of intimate ways. And this feels obviously like my heart and soul's in it, but it just feels like it's like, for example, like when I first came up with the idea and I was first working through it, I was like, oh, I would happily do this for free. Like, is this a passion project? Is this like nonprofit style? Is this like volunteer work? And then I was like, no, this is a business. And then it was like, but it's a business, but I also kind of don't care how successful it is. I just really want to help people. Obviously, I care how successful it is, but it was like the money would never came into it. And now I'm like, oh no, this is going to be really successful. This is a business. I'm going to be the best CEO ever for this. I'm going to be like the best leader for the people who are part of it. Like I'm just like fully there. And doing that feels also like it's of the highest service to the members and the people who will be part of the community. So
totally.
Yeah, there's a natural cohesion there that I had to sift through a lot of layers for.
I also think that you can't have both to a certain extent, or like you couldn't have two businesses that were like,
no,
that, right? Like that almost doesn't work, like where it's like, oh, my heart is in these like two places and it feels so intense and I feel so pulled. It's almost like the best thing you could do is to know if I'm going to start a second business, it has to feel more like a business, right?
Totally agree. And I was too close to it personally, I think, like emotionally too close to it. And now I'm like, no, we're in it. Every pregnancy announcement is like more social proof and more wins for us. And obviously, I care so deeply about people in like a personal way, but the business is a standalone entity that gets to run like a business.
Yes, 100%. I love that. So good. Okay, so tell me about ads. Like, what are you thinking there?
Yeah, I'm thinking that, like, so usually when we talk ad strategy in my world with my clients, I kind of take them through the three-step process of like visibility, retargeting, conversion, that cycle, so that we're taking people from a cold lead to a hot lead. I haven't run ads in my personal business because I've focused organically. Now that it's a new membership, it's a new everything, I feel like we need to kind of build that pipeline again. So I think going through that cycle of visibility, awareness, like this is here, and retargeting with a masterclass, and then the conversion happening after that. So probably the first like 2-3 weeks will just be visibility focused with like really great content, drawing people mostly to our Instagram page. And then if they're interested, they can easily click the link in bio. And the thing is, because it's a low price point, I imagine a lot of people will convert that way, but just a little bit more focus on the cost per lead being lower when there's not like the conversion ask.
I wonder if what you could do is pull something from the membership as like a front end lead magnet while you prep the webinar so that at least if you're running ads, you're getting opt-ins.
Oh, for email, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not that it would hurt to like boost some posts or something like that for visibility, but I think if you're going to like do a full campaign, it's like, let's at least grab emails.
Yes.
And since you have resources, like that feels pretty doable. So I don't know. You tell me if it does feel doable, actually, but like, does that feel reasonable? Because I think that's probably worth it.
Totally. Like maybe a meal plan like for the week. Because we've got like everything broken down, everything organized, checklists, why it matters. Or if, even like a supplement protocol. Like I think a lot of people know what supplements are good, but they don't know the therapeutic dosages.
I actually really like both of those because I think it's like a taste for the specifics of why they would get in there. Do you know what I mean? So it's like even I think the webinar is still like the long term play, but I think something like that on the front end that gives them like an experience of being in there of like, oh, you would get these meal plans every week if you were in here is so helpful. I have a client that has like a Reels membership and like her opt-in is just like 1 week of that and it works so well. So I think it's important to talk about here why it makes sense for Robin to lead with that meal plan as a taste of the membership. I think it's so valuable to give people a pretty direct experience of something that they're going to get and get a lot of value from. I think with something like a membership, we're craving that tangibility, right? It's not like we're getting in it because we're getting like one-on-one level support or anything like that. We're getting some of these really tangible things. And so being able to give them that experience can be so meaningful. I was mentioning to Robin that one of my clients has a Reels membership and the first, you know, kind of like opt-in we give them is just an example of that, right? And it means when people get in, they're much more satisfied with it because they already know what they're getting. They already see the value. And it's just such an easy lead-in and transition. And so I think a meal plan can be the same thing here. And the point I really want to make is helping someone see what they could really get ongoing value from and giving them an experience of that makes it such an easy no-brainer to say yes and dive in, right? It's like, oh, this meal plan really helped me this week. I would love to have these every week. I'm in. Oh, having these Reels examples really helped me this week. I would love to have this every week. And it just makes it such an easy transition and has such a good level set on expectations that you're also more likely to retain that client. And so thinking of those things that give a pretty direct and exact experience of something for someone that they know they would want again and again can be an excellent lead-in and such an easier sell.
I think too, like this is a product back end that I'm so proud of. Like I've shown a few people it behind the scenes and they're like, this is literally thousands and thousands of dollars worth of like value that people are getting for $77 a month. And like truly it's like mind blowing. So I feel very confident that if people got that little taste, they'd be like, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I would do that for sure.
So would you do the meal plan over the supplements maybe? Because it's more like actionable.
Well, I mean, I guess I don't know exactly how you have it set up. So you tell me, but I feel like the meal plan is almost like showing them like an ongoing benefit where I wonder if the supplement plan is a little bit more like you would get a supplement plan once and like mostly follow that. So I lean more toward the meal plan because it feels like a taste of like the ongoing value.
Yeah. And it's like very like intentionally done. And also we've got two breakdowns. So like the budget friendly and the non-leftover version, because I don't do leftovers, but I know that like a lot of people are like, holy shit, my bill's going to be so much money. So we have like the budget friendly version to show that you don't have to also spend so much money to be healthy.
I love that. Yeah, I would give them both, like lead with that as the opt-in, like you get both of these as like the example. Yeah. And then like, you know, being in the membership gets you these regularly. I think that's such a win.
Cool. Okay, so I'll do that. Yeah, we've got a couple of fun things coming up too. We're doing like the cooking classes, which would segue well into that as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will package 1 week and create that opt-in. Run some adds to it starting Monday, probably. I don't know. Do you think I should do Facebook placement and Instagram placement or just Instagram?
I think both.
Okay, so I'll do both and then feed and stories.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll do like 4 assets.
I would try it. I mean, let's see what performs, right? But I think as a starting point, like, let's just do all of it and see what's happening there. I think since we're not just trying to do it for just visibility, but actually for the email, it does make sense to do Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, let's do it. So I'll do that starting Monday. And then, yeah, we're good to go there.
So exciting.
It seems good. Yeah, I'm so.
Yeah. And then what's nice about that too is like we might even find that those are just cheaper leads and we always do that to lead to the webinar and we never run direct to webinar ads. Like, I mean, let's see what happens, but that's a possibility too. So it's like, it's kind of nice to be testing that regardless because we'd probably want to test a front end opt-in at some point anyway. So that kind of works.
Yeah, totally.
It might just be cheaper.
Okay.
Amazing. Okay, cool. Does it feel worth it to dive into some other business stuff? Does it feel worth it to kind of just like revisit some of the mindset stuff? What feels present for you?
You know, I think I could probably use some of this healthy detachment to the mother business too.
You're like, that would feel good.
it feels so, you know, when you just like put so much of yourself into something that you just like, you want to scream from the rooftops how epic it is and like how amazing it is. And then you're also personally disappointed if like people don't get that. So you are more attached to outcomes. So I feel like, yeah, I need to detach from that. I'm usually pretty good at detaching from that, but I think that this feels a little bit more, it's new, right?
It's interesting. I have a point. It's going to seem like I don't for a second. But I wrote the like summary that we do for the podcast seasons a few days ago. And the first sentence I think was, I could even pull it up for you, but it's kind of not important, but I could send it to you later if you want me to. But I basically said like this season is about rebuilding. Mm-hmm. And I was saying like, you're basically rebuilding your whole business. You're building a new business and you're rebuilding yourself after going through so much like grief and trauma and all the things, right? I think that's relevant here. And I say that to say like the attachment is, I think, large part because it is like a rebuilding, a reimagining, a reworking of like what you want. And I think that it's such a different level of connection to that because it wasn't just like, oh, I'm just building a business and I'm doing it in the way I think I'm supposed to do it or whatever. Like this was you kind of being like, the way I've done it has worked and I want something different. And it feels so, I think, personal and so personal desire oriented that it probably is just a little more intense. Does that feel true?
Yes. And like, you know, my relationship with desire has been real wonky for the last year. It's interesting. I had the most amazing conversation with my husband the other day, and he was like, you know, I think that at the core of like what makes us thrive is when we have a really great vision that we actually believe we can bring to life. And so because we've really struggled with the vision of family building, it's like really impacted a vision overall for a lot of things. And so we made like really big decisions last week, and I actually just met with a realtor an hour ago because we want to build a place, and just like we're starting to like get a bigger vision for our lives outside of like, you know, like we still get to have an epic life. We still get to win, you know, where I think we just felt like we were in such a season of loss that we kind of felt like losers. And I had this like loser energy and this like L on my forehead. So I feel like there's just like different energy in general. And so, yeah, the business side of it is more personal. And also, I kind of finally got to the place of not giving a fuck, I think. You know, like I remember in the first couple of weeks, I said I need to get there.
Yep.
Like I needed that energy. And I think I finally got there because the white picket fence and the 2.2 kids and the suburban mom just like is not working out for me.
Yeah. which is kind of freeing to just say that out loud, right?
And you know, the weirdest thing is like, I never have ever walked the conventional path for anything.
Yeah.
My first house I bought was in an island called Vanuatu, and I'd never been there before. And I went there and I fell in love and I bought a house. You know, like I've just always done things the weird way. And I feel like the last 2 years, something in me just was like, no, like play it safe, be normal, like give your kid a normal life. Like I really try to squeeze myself into this mold of what the suburban life looks like. No, like I want to not do that anymore.
Yes. Well, it's the business is that too, right? It's like this year, totally. I feel like you decided like, well, I could just play it safe where I could like go build what I want, you know?
Yes. And I felt so unsafe playing it unsafe for the last few months.
Yep.
And now I finally feel like it's going to work out.
I think the thing that could be really helpful here to remember, and tell me obviously what comes up for you here, but I think like, this is sort of like, sounds like the opposite of any advice we would normally give or like manifesting what you want. But I almost feel like there's an element for you here to be like, let me just assume people aren't going to get the mothered business at first. Like, let me just lead with the assumption that that is not something that's going to land for people right away. And the reason I say that is because a lot of new things just don't land for people right away. And so instead of bringing the expectation that like it should, and if it doesn't, something has gone wrong, I think bringing the expectation that it probably won't and that your job is to get it to land over time is actually like,
yeah,
sometimes really juicy. Like that's kind of the mindset I took when we launched Dateable. I was like, oh, people don't get data. They don't actually want to look at data. They're probably not going to get it for a while. I'm like willing to hang until they do. And I feel like that just made everything feel really not personal. So when someone didn't get data, I was like, okay, yeah, I expected you to not get data.
Totally.
So I just wonder if that's it here a little bit, where it's like, you're like, what I know is that I'll stick in it and they'll get bought in eventually. But what I also know is that it doesn't have to be right away, and that's not even important. I think in this conversation of like, have the expectation that people won't get it is so valuable, because I think we always get so worried about that. What if people don't get it? What if people don't understand? And we get so worried about it that it can actually make us not run at helping them understand, right? But if we're like, let me just assume they won't understand and it's my full-time job to make them understand, then it puts us in action mode. It gets us moving. It gets us thinking, gets us going, oh, what do I need to say in content? What do I need to create, versus being in that fear of what if they don't? It's like, well, if I assume they don't and I start, you know, adjusting for that, fixing for that, taking action based on that, then I'm already ahead of the game. So if you find yourself kind of constantly getting stuck in that place of like, oh, what if I put this out and someone doesn't get it? Lean a little harder into it. Maybe they won't. So what do I need to say instead? What else do I need to put out with it? What other context could I give? What do I need to add to the sales page? And it will feel so much more empowering, and it will also give you such better results in the process, because you're thinking about it and approaching it from that different place, from that more action-oriented place, and it will make such a difference. It will also make such a difference in your mindset, because you're not like, oh my God, what if this happens? You're like, let me just assume it already has. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be in fear. I just get to now take action and be empowered, and that helps your mindset so freaking much as well.
Well, it's so funny you say that, because I had multiple messages this week of people who I like privately was inviting into the mastermind before, and they were like, no, this isn't up for me anymore.
Right. I remember that like time period.
Yeah. Multiple of them have come back and been like, hey, I just like looked at your sales page again. Like, actually, this is it for me. And like, I'm in. And that's literally like, you know, 2 months later. And I haven't even really marketed differently or told anybody anything. It just had to sit with them, I think.
Yep.
For them. And I think the missing, for all those people, the missing piece was that they don't currently identify as a mother, but they want to have a baby in the next 12 to 18 months. And so that was really good data for me to be like, okay, so like leading with the fact that this is for those people who want to be moms, not just people who are already mom in the marketing, I think it's going to be important for that concept. Yeah. because I think moms do just kind of just get it, you know, like you just know the minute you're a mom and you're like, there's so much here that's changed. And there's so much about this mentor who like previously got me that like, I just can't relate to anymore because it's just not the same when you've got this like massive life identity, everything shift.
Yeah.
And I think the cocoon's actually the same because I was looking at some of our data. Funny, I love data. I was looking at some of our analytics and I was like, oh, this is interesting. The people who've had complex journeys are instantly bought in and the people who are just getting started are not. And they're the ones that kind of want to do it themselves for a bit or like they expect it's going to happen easily. And then we're actually catching them at like after the 3 to 4 month mark of trying and it's not working.
Makes total sense. Well, that's when they like actually have a problem you need to solve, so to speak, right?
Exactly. And I thought because when I did the original market research, a lot of people were like, oh, I plan to have kids and I plan to like figure out how to optimize my body for that, that they would be interested. But I think they were more like, I assume everything's going to be easy and I'll just take a prenatal for 3 months before. Yeah, so I don't think they identify it as valuable yet.
It's interesting because I feel like so much of what you're doing is a bit long-term play where it's like they probably need to find you early, but they might not buy from you until later. And I even think mother business is that to a certain extent. Like I might find you when I'm pregnant or when I'm thinking about it or when I'm even leaning into that, but I might not buy until months from then. Or not. I mean, that doesn't always have to be the truth. Like, I also might find you and my pain point and then buy right away. But I think it's just kind of being like both are good. I think sometimes in business, we label it like only good if someone converts quickly. And I think just like labeling all of it as good, like if we're getting the new people in and they're not buying from us yet, that's not a problem. That's actually a warm leads pipeline. That's really smart.
Yes. And I've always been okay with a longer buying cycle because I just value relationships and I value people who are like, a hell yes, I want to work with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I respect people who like do their research and figure out what's right for them. So I'm okay with playing the longer game, but obviously from like a cash flow position in the company that like changes things if I'm not doing one-on-one anymore and I'm not launching club rides.
So I think two things there. One is like, I think it's not that we have to think like, oh, it won't sell. I just think the expectation that everyone gets it right away is what you can shift. But like, that doesn't mean like you're already having people coming back and buying.
Yeah.
But I would also just remember, and I don't know if this is like super frustrating or actually feels really good. So feel free to tell me either. But like, there's not this like line in the sand where you couldn't take on one-on-one clients either. Like, if from a cash flow perspective, that's what you needed to do to bridge a gap for a few months or whatever, like, I think just remembering that's not something you hate or don't like or isn't feasible. And again, tell me if that feels like good or terrible. Like, obviously, we can talk through that. But I feel like sometimes what happens is we make a decision and then we like get so locked in on that decision that we forget there are like 20 options that could support us as we like made our way to that decision, you know?
Yeah, it's so funny. I just had this throwback from like a previous mentor I worked with years ago. And she was like, you know, if you're going to go fully into the group offer, I would really recommend that you don't work with anyone one-on-one, like take that option off the table completely because most people will identify you with that and they'll be like, I only want you for that until they realize that like you do both really well. And that like made me so resistant. I was like, no, I love one-on-one. Obviously, I know you can always do both. But totally. Like, I think subconsciously there's this little like thing of like, maybe I do need to be like a little bit more like, this is the only way to work with me. And one-on-one could be like a VIP add-on or something there. Like I'm happy to play with, but yeah.
So I think it was really important to talk about that option to fall back on one-on-one here, because I think this is what can create safety for us. And that's so important. I am so not a fan in most cases of that burn the boats mentality, because I think with that mentality, what we're trying to do is be like, I'm taking away all my safety, so I'm forcing this outcome, which, you know, I think can be okay. I think definitely from a more masculine perspective, it can work. But I think when we're really coming from that more feminine perspective, it makes us feel unsafe. It makes us feel really off kilter. It can really activate our nervous system, and it is not helpful at all. So when we're like, oh, I already have a thing that really works and I can just always fall back on that, that gets so good. That gets so easy, and it makes you feel a lot more safe and grounded in going after the next thing. And so just remember, like, I even think about this when people have jobs, and there's so much pressure, I think, as an entrepreneur, of like, quit your job as fast as possible. And I'm like, or don't, right? Like, get to safety, get to a place you feel really safe. Don't feel like you have to burn all the boats to make it work. In fact, sometimes quitting your job later so you have a really solid foundation is the best move into entrepreneurship. So just wanted to kind of give that perspective, because I really think it can be so easy to feel pressured around like letting go of all your other options, when actually what I've seen most with clients is that retaining your options, remembering that you have multiple options, is actually the most empowering thing that typically gets you the best results.
But you know what? Like, I actually think that people are going to get it, because Club Rise was just so wildly popular. And people who worked with me both in Club Rise and one-on-one oftentimes were like, I actually preferred, because it's so intimate, I actually preferred the group dynamic, because I learned so much from the community calls. And a lot of mom entrepreneurs, solopreneurs are like a little bit lonely. So it's also nice to have that support of like friends who get it and who are cheering for you on socials and aren't judging you for whatever content you're putting out when you're like newly marketing.
Totally. I mean, I think what's probably true here is that like it will sell, but you having like options other than that, even if you don't exercise those options, is actually what creates the detachment, right? So like from the like perspective of like the old mentor, like that's very much like a burn the bridges or burn the boats mentality, right?
Right.
And I think like burn the boats kind of works sometimes, but it also can create a lot of pressure and attachment and intensity and all of those things that we don't want. So I think in this case, like I wouldn't necessarily be like, go put out a one-on-one offer next week. But I think just being like, if I ever needed to, that's like an easy win in my back pocket that I know I have people that would say yes to. Like I can just release worrying about cash flow because that option exists, right?
Totally. And it's so funny because I keep saying it's so funny, but it actually is, because when you're used to like big launches or big cash injections or whatever, like you can kind of get hyper-focused on those being the win. But when I look at my MRR for the next 18 months, like if I made not one more sale for the next 18 months, like my cash flow is very, very healthy. And so it's like, I really actually have, you know, financially in the business, I have 18 months to like figure out how to make the pivot fully the same. So I actually financially have so much breathing space, but it's allowing that change of like the big injections to like, it's just a change, taking a step back to go too forward kind of thing.
Well, I think it's also like what does your brain associate with safety versus what actually is safety?
Exactly.
Because they're totally different things sometimes.
And how much of that is also like our conditioning in the industry?
Oh my God, all of it.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're only safe if you're having 100K launches or something and you're like, wait a fucking second, is that even true? I think it's so interesting to think about what, you know, like our brains or our industry says creates safety versus what actually does, right? Like, I think that our industry so often pushes a narrative that what creates safety in your business is big launches, you know, and then our brains take that in and like, that's the expectation. I have to be getting these huge launch numbers to stay safe. And what I actually see is that it's the self-trust that you can handle anything, alongside really healthy monthly recurring revenue, that creates certainty. So you're like, okay, I have monthly recurring revenue locked in, and I also believe that even if that changed or even if that shifted, I can handle shit, I can show up for it, I will make adjustments, I will tweak, I will adapt. Like all of your safety lies there, right? Every single person that has like the huge launch, their first thought is almost always, oh my God, how will I replicate this again? Right? It's not like, oh my God, now I just have big launches forever. And so it's not like big launches are bad by any means, but like It's just to say that that's usually not like the biggest creator of safety. It's the self-trust and it's knowing how to get that recurring revenue continuously, which again, sometimes launches help us do, but it's just looking at it from a different angle. So not feeling all that pressure, right? Like in my business, I've never had a big launch basically, right? That's never been my model. It's never been my thing, but I have a lot of really sustainable recurring revenue and a lot of self-trust around that. And I have to have that self-trust because with the revenue share model, none of it's really guaranteed, right? And so the way I feel safe in my business isn't like, oh, I have big launches or like I know for sure X is coming in. It's like, I know for sure I will always show up and figure it out. So just a reminder, that is actually what is going to make you feel really good and create the certainty that you want. It's not just showing yourself you can have a big launch. So when you think about the attachment, it's not to the cash, it's not to whatever, like what is the attachment around the mothered business toward?
I think it's getting the right people in the room that like, especially for a mastermind experience, like I've had good experiences, I've had bad experiences. And usually it depends on who's in the room. Of course, leadership and the coach and the mentor is like going to create that culture from the top down. And like, there's a synergy. You know, this is why like I turned a lot of people away for Clever Eyes because I was like, no, this isn't the cohort for it. Like just dynamic wise, it's just not synergy. And I just really want people who really get it, who are really like excited about that level of intimacy and support, but also like taking pretty big steps in their business, right? So it's not like a happy business circle. It's like we get shit done and we move fast and we are like creating epic change in your business. And also we're doing it in a feminine way where like your pace might look different from each other's and like that's okay. And also they're bought into the holistic stuff, like the feminine embodiment, the feminine energy, the breath work. You know, it's a little bit different to like, here's a real social media class or here's a ChatGPT prompt. Like, of course, I have workshops that cover those things because that's strategy and that matters. And also, there's this other soulful element.
You know how one of the things we were talking about last week is like the only thing that like you can grab onto when everything else is going crazy is like your self-trust. I kind of feel like that feels really present here where it's like, I think sometimes we can worry so much about like who is in the container. And obviously that matters, like, you know, in the way of like getting the right people in. But I also wonder if this is like a little bit of reminding yourself how good you would be at navigating if someone got in that wasn't, or if there was a dynamic that needed cleaned up or whatever. And maybe it's because you're feeling like somewhat low on capacity with like everything that's been happening and with like some of the hormone stuff going on and with like launching another business. Like maybe that's what's making like getting the right people in feels like of top tier importance, is I don't feel like I have the capacity to handle it, if not, but I do feel like there's really something here for like, I think it would just be fine because you're just good at handling that.
You really reminded me of a round of Club Rides where it was like peak COVID and peak COVID politics.
Yeah.
And there was a person in the group whose child had a lifelong injury from the vaccine. And there was a person in the groups whose family member had passed from COVID.
Oh, wow.
And it was like a very intense thing because like the person who refused to get the vaccine was like being socially isolated and they weren't allowed to go to restaurants or things in Canada and they weren't allowed to travel and like all these things. And they felt really tender about that. And then the other person felt really like frustrated that like, you know, people are dying. And it was this really intense period, and it worked so beautifully where it actually worked really, really well. But I remember having a moment of like, whoa,
like I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah, this is a lot. And I'm someone that can like so easily see multiple perspectives that I could see, you know, nuances there, but I was like, can anybody else? But I think we just give our people way too little credit for like, yeah, being adults, you know, like also our age now, it's different to when we were younger and like a little bit, it's just different.
Yeah.
We've had so much life experience and enough to know and like see our friends go through different things. To feel like there's lots of ways to do what's right.
I think when you're younger, you're more certain. And as you get older, sometimes you're like, nothing's certain. I'm like always willing to see a new perspective or change my opinion.
Exactly. Yeah. And at least for me, my friend group is so much less homogenous. The older I get, you know, different walks of life, different religions, different everything. So
totally.
Not just my sorority days.
Right. I think that's just so valuable, right? Is like you've done this already. You've already had the hard situations and like it always has gone well there. And I think like there might just be like a bit of a self-protective element right now where you're like, I'm dealing with a lot and I just don't want one more fucking thing. But I think just like, yeah, just the reminder of like, I really, really got it, I think is so valuable here. Like there's almost like no road that you don't have right now in the business, meaning like if people don't get it right away, who cares? You have 18 months and you're great at marketing, you'll figure it out, you have support, whatever. If it doesn't sell right away, who cares? You have a million people that would take you up on one-on-one, you got it, you'll protect cash flow, who cares? If someone got in that wasn't the right fit, you're good at handling that, you'll figure it out, you'll navigate it, who cares? Like I think there's just a way to kind of be like, there's not a single path that could happen that I wouldn't pretty easily be able to adjust to. But just like to name, it doesn't mean that like that added uncertainty on top of the uncertainty you've been experiencing in like other areas of life isn't intense. It's just good to see on a practical level. It's not really like a worry, so to speak, right?
Yes, 1000%.
But it doesn't mean it's still not like in your body. I think what we're really coming to here, and I think what is so helpful for us to see at any stage of entrepreneurship, is that like uncertainty can feel so intense, but often it's actually practically totally okay. And it's really helpful to see that and solve for the right problem. So when we're making a big change or transition in business, there is always going to be a period of uncertainty. Like that will be so practically okay and normal to go through. It's just, can we hold that feeling in our bodies and not run to solve all these problems that aren't actually problems, or try to create certainty through every stage of it? Like actually the best thing we can do a lot of the time is be like, oh, uncertainty makes sense now. How can I still feel safe? Uncertainty makes sense now. How can I hold myself through this discomfort, right? Because practically it would have to be there, you know, to go to the next step. I love a dating analogy, as y'all know, and I think that's so akin to dating. Like the way you get to marriage is you move through the uncertainty of those first few dates. Do we like each other? Are we meant to be? Oh my gosh, is he gonna text? Whatever, right? And it's like, but there's not a problem there. If you try to go right to certainty at the beginning, you're totally missing the process and it's actually not going to be fun or enjoyable for anyone, right? But if you're like, oh yeah, it's supposed to be uncertain right now, that's practically okay and normal. How do I hold this intensity in my body? That's when it actually gets easier to move through it.
Yeah, and I think the professional work for me is constantly on a daily basis now to like really separate things. And in a way, that's the medicine too.
When you say separate it, let's just try to name that because I think it would be helpful. Like, do you mean like I'm having a feeling in my body and I need to not categorize it as like I am worried about the business or I am feeling pressure around this launch? Is that kind of how you would conceptualize it?
Well, I don't know if you can relate, but like, you know, once a week I want to burn down my business and then I realize, oh, it's like 5 days before my period and I'm emotional and everything sucks and it's like clearly hormones, you know, or like my child was up all night and I didn't sleep and I never want to do another like sales call in my life, you know, where like I actually love sales calls genuinely. I'm so weird, but I love sales calls. I love one-on-one calls. I love intimacy in business. And also 1 week a month, I'm like, I want to literally just have a digital product on Etsy that I never talked to a human being for. And it's its own beast. And projections too, like when I have heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak in my fertility journey, not to project that energy into other areas of my life, not to get into the all or nothing thinking. Like multiple truths can be true at the same time. Like I can be real having like a really hard day on my fertility journey, and also I can be having a really amazing day in my business. and in my motherhood, and I can be having a really hard day in motherhood and a really amazing day in motherhood 5 minutes apart from each other, you know?
Yeah.
And just like not getting into that, allowing something to be like consuming more than it is. And so like in this sense, separating things is, well, like what's my intuition versus what are the fertility treatment hormones making me feel? What's like a mindset thing and what's like an actual chemical like imbalance thing? What's like feeling like losing, failing, doubt in my journey here and actually not at all about a launch here? You know, like just really allowing multiple intense things to happen at the same time.
I don't know if this is helpful or not, so I'll just offer it and you tell me if it's not. But when I hear you talk about that and when I just like know the conversations we've had in the past, like I think especially in the personal development world, we just like overlean to self-responsibility so much sometimes. And I think that can actually be like damaging. I think that's a little bit of what you're saying here, whereas like there's so much like, is this mine? Is this not? Is that, but like given the like season you're in and the like, you know, medical things you're dealing with, like I wonder if the assumption is just always first that it's hormone related. And like it would almost be like you would have to prove otherwise for us to not assume it's that. And this isn't in a way to say like, let's just blame the hormones or it's never the business or whatever, but it's to say like, that probably is the most likely culprit 90% of the time. But then when we blame ourselves 90% of the time, except for that, it does build this tug of war within ourselves where it's like 90% it's probably hormones, but 90% of the time I actually blame myself for it. Yes. And so I wonder if like, that's just the lead. Like anytime you're feeling something, it's like, what is it? Where are you in your hormone cycle? What's going on with that? Is that just like what's alive in you and we can name that? Or is there truly more here versus the other way around?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Does that feel like empowering when I say it like that? Or does that feel like worse?
No, very empowering. Because you just named how, like what I was trying to articulate around separating things, because it's so hard when you're close to something and you're feeling like pretty intense things. To be like super clear and objective about something else, you know?
Right. And then it takes you longer to weed through it to eventually come to the like, oh, wait, this is just a hormone thing where it's like we could get there sooner and you could probably feel more relief from that, you know?
Exactly. And all the energy, because I'm so big on emotional regulation and like getting to neutrality and all of that, like that's just something I do every 10 minutes in the background of my mind, like, you know. And so I don't think that even needing to do that and just being like, no, yeah, like you are good. It's just, you just injected 100 times of estrogen that you're supposed to have in your body. Like, yes. Yeah.
Like, no, no fucking shit. Your mindset's fine. You're just coursing with hormones, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Something that I see so many like high achieving women do is we always want to fix something. We always think it's ours to fix, right? And what I work with clients on all the time is sometimes we need to assume it is something else and not something we need to fix, right? Like in this case for Robin, like I think it's really helpful and empowering for her to blame the hormones versus think she has something else to fix about herself. It's like, oh no, when I can relax is when I just go, oh, this makes sense. It's the hormone thing. Instead of going, oh my God, what do I need to shift in myself? What do I need to fix? How can I feel differently? Like that's when it can be really intense. You know, I think people do this around all different things, but like, here's an example is like, if a client defaults on payment or something, like a lot of us like high achieving, high performers will default to like, how do I make sure this never fucking happens again? You know, and we want to like take all the control back and take all the power and go fix it when really our empowerment often lies in, oh yeah, sometimes this is going to happen in business. Sometimes people are going to default. How can I be okay in that? How can I be like, oh, that's really a bummer they decided to do that, instead of taking on all this personal blame and responsibility, you know? And obviously, if it's happening constantly, that's a different thing. But kind of seen with Robin, it's not like she constantly is having this issue. It's like very obviously specifically related to where she is hormonally. With client payments, it's like if someone's defaulting every week, maybe that's different. But if you're having like one default this month, don't let it freak you out. It's like that's someone else's problem. You just have to like feel okay dealing with it, right? So I think that's really helpful to see is like, yes, we want to feel empowered, but sometimes the best thing we can do is not take on all the personal blame and try to fix everything. Obviously, that sometimes feels good in the moment, but usually it sends us down a rabbit hole that is not helpful in the long run.
And actually, even acknowledging, wow, you're doing a great job, all things considering, like you should actually be way worse.
I think that's it. Like, I think we've talked about this as a bit of a theme throughout this, but like you're getting it right or doing it right or doing great. It feels so relevant here. And I think that's this. It's like your mindset probably isn't fucked. You're probably not overly attached. You're probably, because anytime we talk through the specifics, like you are at neutrality to the extent that you can be with 100 times the level of estrogen coursing through your body, right?
Yeah. Like, like it is what it is.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's really frustrating to feel like, and there's nothing to fix about it. But actually, sometimes that is the most empowering to be like, why am I going to beat my head against the wall thinking I have a mindset problem when actually I don't? I just need to like acknowledge that, right?
That is exactly it. Because then subconsciously, even there's a pattern of like being out of wholeness, right? Like always needing to fix something, whether that's like from a medical appointment to like, I'm really good at looking at data and like finding the holes and like fixing things. Like that's just kind of where I love to play. But then it can also be unhelpful when it's like, well, there's literally nothing. Like you are fine. Like you're good. We don't have to fix you.
Yeah, I like that. I feel like that's like, that's the whole energy here kind of, right? It's like you're going through like a peak hormone time and handling it really well. You're going through a peak hormone time and doing as much as you could possibly be doing and doing the best you can and succeeding at it in every way. It's like, these are all the positives. And the fact that you're going through a peak hormone time just is what it is. Like, even that's like a neutral thing in many ways, right?
Totally.
But it's still going to contribute to how you're feeling. And I feel like that acknowledgement is more important. And, you know, I think you know this so well because you work on somatic stuff too, but it's like, yes, mindset matters so much, but like the idea that we can just fully override things like that happening in our body with good mindset is just total bullshit, right?
Oh, yeah. It's insane.
Like your mindset can override 100 times the level of estrogen in your body. No, the fuck it can't, you know?
Believe me when I say it cannot.
You're like case study, I promise. Yeah. Doesn't work like that.
My husband is opting to go on 5-day trips. And I am very, very encouraging of it.
You're like, we're not going to fix anything here. Yeah. Just a
Let's
little
stay
space.
Happily married and just let me be in my sacral rage here.
I feel like this is really it. It's more like, I mean, for me, what comes up here, and it sounds like you're already doing that in many regards, but it's like, how do we just plan around that instead of fight against it, right?
Yeah. Yes. That's where I'm at with like just not micromanaging everything, you know, like not trying to be so. Oh.
Yeah. I feel like the trip is such an easy example. Like you could be like, oh no, you have to stay here and we have to like figure it out during that time and da-da-da. But like, why? That's not who you are. That's just a season you're in. Like what would be better is to not try to like fight the fight, so to speak, but to just be like, you know what makes both of us feel better?
Yeah.
Is to have like a little space for that. Let's just do that. I think even in the business, right? Like what would make you feel better? Is it to like have more on during that time? Is it to have less on during that time? Is it whatever? It doesn't matter. It's just like flow with the current instead of against, right?
Yes. I'm so good at like going against the grain.
Ugh.
And I don't want to.
I feel like we were talking about how our astrology is like exactly the same. And yeah. I notice that in myself so much. Like I have this tendency to just like always take an opposite posture. And I have to work on that a lot to be like, is that actually my posture? Or is that actually what I believe? Or am I just like doing that for the sake of doing it? And it's like a constant like inquiry of that. And I think like, especially with the hormone thing, it's like, oh yeah, we just have to like really, really not try to fight that fight.
Yeah. And my mom sent me a meme. And it was sunflowers all facing the sun, but then one sunflower facing away from the sun. And she was like, be careful not to always be that sunflower. You know, there's a reason all the sunflowers are facing the sun. And in marketing, in business, we were like, stand out, do something different. If people want red, go blue. Like, you know, we're constantly trying to find our way to stand out, but also like that's not always it. Like sometimes just being who you are and doing what's right for you is standing out enough. And
it's so true.
Yeah. I need to stop being that sunflower.
I was talking to a friend who has a really successful business. And we were talking about like this business idea and we were talking about the messaging for it. And I was like, oh, I totally think like you should go this direction. It should be this. And did it on. He's like, God, that's so like contrarian. Like, why would you make it so hard? Like, I only want to do business in ways that absolutely like flows with the river. Like, I would never do that. And I'm like, oh, that's so funny. And like, there's like, we can acknowledge that sometimes you're just built for one thing versus the other. And there's beauty in that. But I do think it's a helpful perspective sometimes to be like, yeah, is that a fight I want to fight? Like, I'm willing to fight the good fight. And like, I think we're both built for that a little bit, but it doesn't mean every fight is a good fight.
And not everything has to be a fight.
Amen. So true.
Yeah. Path of least resistance, please.
Yes. Let's take that this year. So I think path of least resistance here is like all is well. Like your business is really well set up. However this plays out, we're equipped to adjust to it. What really your goal is right now, I think, is to be like as understanding with yourself as you possibly can be so that we can work things around that to feel better instead of thinking you need to like muscle through or power through something.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And like following the joy feels really good right now. Finding play in my business feels really good right now.
Yeah, totally. It's almost like when you can't control other areas of your life. Sometimes I think you want to control your business, but it's like that's when you need the exact opposite. Like you might not be able to find the play in every other area, but this is the area you can find it in right now.
Yes. Big wholehearted yes to that.
Good. Okay. Nothing is wrong is pretty much our takeaway.
Yeah. Full steam ahead.
Nothing is wrong. Everything is going great. I love that people are circling back around on mothered business. Like, I love that fertility cocoon stuff is already taking off. Like, it just feels like let yourself have this moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a different energy. I feel it.
So good. All right. Keep me posted in Basecamp. I'm here. If you want to send me that initial opt-in page to look at, anything ads related, happy for you to send that my way. And we will go from there.
Cool. Thank you. Have a great day.
I'll talk to you soon. You too.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Literally. Your precious earbud time means the world to me, and I'm incredibly grateful that you chose to spend it with this podcast. Your feedback is not only valuable, but essential to me on this journey. So if you've enjoyed the podcast and found it beneficial, please take a moment to leave a review. And here's the best part. To express my gratitude, I'll select one lucky reviewer each month to receive my ultimate mini course to maximizing results in one-on-one coaching. If you want to be an in-demand coach who's known for creating those epic results and getting epic results in your own business because of it, then this course is for you and you can grab the first module of it for free right now at alitoflife.com/mini course.